Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, "Well, I know it's not my birthday," and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
It was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a 3-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi there. Thanks for joining us wherever you are, in your car, your truck, home, wherever.
Plane, train, or automobile.
Plane, train, or automobile. I saw that the other day. I just saw that movie. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Still hilarious. Still.
Two very funny guys.
The sad thing is I've lived that so many times that it kind of isn't funny.
How about those bears?
How about them? Oh, that's so hilarious. They're sleeping in the hotel together, yeah. And they end up
snuggling.
Touching each other.
Yeah.
And, then the night, and then they jump out of it. Hey, how about those bears? Anyway, very, very fun movie.
Oh, well.
Yes. We go to movies. All right. So, glad you're with us. And let's see what we've got going here. We've got so many things going, and one of them is the Everyman's Battle Workshop, and I'll read you something from that a little bit later. But why do you guys think pornography became such a huge problem for more men than not? Majority of men, it becomes a problem.
Well, you know, I think as adolescents, boys get curious, and you got magazines. And I mean, when I was a kid, the only thing you could find was a nudist publication, you know.
Where they played volleyball and stuff?
Yeah.
You know why I know that? Because my grandfather had a subscription.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you've got you know, the magazines that come, but now it's
nude
just
volleyball. I got this picture in my head now.
I remember opening it up at age 4 probably, and there are these people with no clothes on playing volleyball, and I thought, man, how do you play volleyball like that? That's just all I can think about. How do you play volleyball
I mean, you had to really look for it back then. When
yeah,
you were kids.
Right.
Now it's so prevalent. I mean, I don't know how I've got the statistics someplace, but I don't remember them. The statistics on the internet pornography are just astounding.
Yeah.
The number of sites, and it's so available.
Yeah.
So it's hard for a guy to just kind of not be curious. As an adolescent, then it continues on, and it becomes an addiction. It literally becomes an addiction, and there's a lot of people who deny that. But there's something goes on physiologically that makes it addictive.
Well, and it started way before TV and computers and magazines, because the Bible says you should not look upon a woman to commit adultery and to lust after her.
I thought you were going to say those nude paintings hanging over the bar in Westerns.
Well,
I think that was pornography. I do. I think that wasn't art. That was
when you stop and say, well, isn't that amazing art? I ask, well, who painted it, a male or a female? When it's a nude female,
right.
And you go, well, they were a painting master. Well, they were a painting master, but why didn't they pick a barn? Why'd they pick a nude female?
Anyhow, how about a.
Because it sells better.
It does sell better.
Just put a pair of boxers on that woman and
okay, so my point is it's just become more accessible and readily available.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But it's a problem because men are visually stimulated sexually, and
right.
They have eyes. That has been a problem for a long, long time. And the Bible is filled with stories of situations where people cross those
Samson,
lines.
Samson, David.
Now, all of a sudden, it's in your house. Yeah. It's so easy to cross the line.
I remember seeing a show on the History Channel of they uncover these Egyptian hieroglyphics. They were pornographic back then. They were.
You look at some of the Japanese little figurines. And
oh, yeah.
Pornographic. Yeah,
yeah, I've tried to keep my eyes off of the Japanese figurines. Don't even look. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Why does your husband need treatment? Well, it's those Japanese figurines. That he just can't stop looking at the figurines.
Little tiny
figurines. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. Let's go to the phones. And let's talk with Stephanie from Kansas City, Missouri. She listens to us online, and we're glad she does. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, guys. I am hoping you can help me with a question I have about my mother-in-law.
It's probably the reason you called.
I spend a lot of time frustrated that she doesn't understand my need and want for boundaries in my relationship with her and my children.
What boundary does she break?
She tries to parent my kids.
Okay.
I don't know what boundary that is specifically, but she, while I and my husband are there, tries to direct them. She disciplines them, but not like with spanking or anything, just saying, you know, don't do that. And she's just kind of, she's not kind of harsh. She's very harsh. She's a mother of boys, and I have a girl. And I just, my parents very much appreciate and understand what it means to back off with my kids.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard for
okay,
me.
So
I've
Stephanie,
discussed it with her. I've written her lengthy emails that explain. I'd really appreciate it if I'm there. You'd let me
Stephanie,
parent my kids.
Stephanie, this
give
is
me that space and let me do that because
okay.
That's my job.
Stephanie, this is solvable.
This is not your issue.
Yeah.
Well,
why?
Thank you.
Why isn't?
I'm so glad to hear that.
Why
you tell
isn't
me what
your,
to do then if it's solvable?
Why isn't your husband stepping up to the plate?
He doesn't feel the same way that I do. He just doesn't. He doesn't really think he does as much of an issue.
That's your problem.
So you don't have a problem.
We just end up going around in circles about her.
Stephanie?
And he won't address it with her.
Okay, Stephanie?
I got so tired of doing it, I did it myself the last time. And when I said to him, I discussed something with your mother, his first reaction was, oh, my gosh, did you hurt her feelings?
Stephanie?
Yes.
Does he have a hard time getting a word in edgewise with you? Does he think that you... No, does he?
Counselor. So.
Okay. But here's the thing.
He's a counselor and he doesn't know how to fix this?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my. I bet he could fix somebody else with this.
This is classic and it's common.
Yeah.
And it's not your mother-in-law's problem and it's not the way you need to interact with her. It's you and him. You have a problem. You guys have a problem in your marriage that needs to be fixed.
He has a problem that is making a problem for you.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. And if he doesn't care about that, then you got something deeper going on, and you got to get him to care that this is a problem for you. Whether he agrees with it or not, if this is a problem for you, it's a problem for him. And he's the only one who can solve it. He's got to say to his mother, you know, but he's still a little boy. I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah. What do you think, Mylon? What insight
well,
do you
I would totally agree with what both of you have said. I'd also ask that. Well, it's a good thing.
Really.
Since we're friends
okay,
and we're sitting here in the same room, I get to
stay.
Help her? I don't have to eat my lunch on the line by myself.
Right.
Okay, good. But Stephanie, I also have to ask a question. How sensitive are you to rejection or replacement or not being seen?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I'm very sensitive. I told her last time, that I understood that part of it was my own sensitivity.
Okay.
But we're both very strong women.
All right.
And
but,
she struggles with knowing her place, and I'm sure I do too. But.
Okay. So what I'm simply trying to say here is this is your husband's problem, but as is true with most marriage problems, everybody contributes a little bit or
sure.
a lot. And so if you can even lead the conversation with your husband and say, I know I'm sensitive, I need to be preeminent in my child's lives, and to think that I am less than preeminent or I've been rejected or replaced, that does something to me. Your relationship will go to a new level when he says, okay, honey, tell me how that makes you feel on the inside to be taken out of that place. And you begin to discuss the feelings of what it makes you feel inside, because I'd suggest it makes you feel scared and panicky and all kinds of things in there.
Sure.
Okay. Well, see, that's important to add to the equation. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what I would do? Since he's a counselor, I would say to him, now what would you tell a couple in your office if the wife was complaining about his mother and he's more worried about his mother than he is about his wife? How would you handle that? Because he might have a very different opinion objectively when it's somebody else's mother than when it's his mother.
No, I would totally agree.
Okay. But that might be the beginning of an important conversation for the two of you. And that's where, you know, that's where I'd begin. But,
yeah.
And own, as Mylon's saying, own your part of it in that you're very sensitive to this. And that's why he needs to really understand and help you with it.
And this is where the brownie therapy comes into play.
Really? Really, the brownie therapy.
Make her some brownies.
And put some,
I will work on that.
And
that's
take it
problem.
To her.
And put some bad stuff in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
You make her some brownies. And you
Dave.
You'd said, I was just thinking about you, and I just baked these brownies. I wanted you to have them.
Unfortunately, my husband's working on weight loss, so he probably wouldn't
appreciate
that.
For your
mother-in-law.
Brownies for your mother-in-law.
Oh, brownies for my mother-in-law.
That's right.
Yuck. Okay.
Yuck. See?
And don't put any X-legs in them.
Yeah. No, really. You need to start doing some things nice for her that don't require a lot of FaceTime with her. And a brownie mix is easy, and you give it to her, and she thinks, wow, maybe I was wrong about her.
But see, part of, and we may want to be asking the question, why did her husband go into counseling in the first place? You see?
Yeah.
You want to know the honest question? This is really lame. My husband's a really good counselor, but it was the easiest track to get done with school.
It
was the quickest.
But see, a lot of people go into counseling because they're trying to work on their own missteps that they encountered in their own families of origin. How to deal with a dominant mom, how to deal with a dominant dad, or an absent mom, absent dad. And a lot of people walk into adulthood and they're still wrestling with that. They end up spending a lot of time working on it, and they end up saying, I think I'll make this my career. So the fact that he has a dominant mother, perhaps, and he is passive.
He's probably got a passive father, and he's playing out the same thing in your marriage.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got to look at that larger family picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our offer this month is regret-free living. So I'm going to send you a copy of Regret-Free Living, and there's some really good stuff in there on how to reconnect when you've been disconnected. And Just Us will be coming your way, and I hope that that's a blessing to you. Rosalind from White Cross, Georgia, watches us on FamNet, FamilyNet, and the cable network. And if you have a cable television, you can get us on FamilyNet, on the NRB network, and on DirecTV. If you ever want to see us doing this show, it's just the show on television.
You can also see it on the computer.
You can always do that right there at newlife.com. Rosalind, how are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you for being there. You've been so much in my life, meant so much, and I've supported you, and I'll continue to.
Thank you, Rosalind. Right. Really appreciate it. How could we help?
Okay. All right. I'm a stepmother of a 40-year-old man who has a wife and three children, ages 1.5. 8 and 7 and 9, and he and his wife have had addiction problems to marijuana and prescription drugs, and mostly him, but they got into best domestic violence stuff and now are under family services program.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get off of it because of his addiction to prescription drugs, and he's not worked for 2 years, says he can't get a job, but anyway. He looks to me as his bank account because his father doesn't have a savings. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the kind of, we have helped him in the past, but I now feel that I'll help him to get help with his addiction, but that's all. And now his wife has called today, said they don't have money for milk. Of course, we are held hostage because of the children sometimes,
sure.
I feel. And we can buy, you know, $400 video games at Christmas, but now we don't have money. So what can we, of course, I'm the ogre, I think, but I want to say hot one of your big TVs or your motorcycle or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're really on the right track, and you've done all the the things that you can do for the right reasons, but now it is time for them to make it on their own. The only thing that you want to do is you want to be sure he knows that the support's going to end and that he knows when it's going to end, so that, he's got time to finally do what he needs to do. And any time their kids don't have milk or they're hungry, tell them, bring them over here right now, and I will give them, I'll feed them dinner tonight, and we'll have milk. You see, that
well,
those
problem, they live 2 hours away.
2 hours away. Oh. All right. Well, okay. So, but anyway, back to the other point, that it really is important that you, and maybe we can help you develop that plan so that he has to support himself.
Well, but every addict knows how to con their support system. And milk for my kids is a wonderful con. And if you sent them money for milk for their kids, it would probably go to something else. And you probably need to get, I don't know if you've attended Al-Anon or not, but you'd probably ought to.
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good. Okay. Because, you know, you're being pushed into an enabling role that just enables the continuation of the problem. And, you know, maybe what happens is if the courts decide that the kids need to go someplace else, they come to you. But somehow you've got to just say, no way, this is the end of the gravy train, and live with that, and your husband's got to live with that, and because otherwise it doesn't end.
Right.
Well, I kind of missed your husband's involvement. Is what?
Well, this is his son.
Yes,
he's for a while there. He was sending $200 and $300 a month, and I said, if I were you, I would send that to the electric company, not to him, because you don't know what it's going for.
Yes,
so, but he hasn't taken the initiative to do that. He hates to really stand up because he feels like he's going to hurt his son's feelings.
Well, and he will, by the way. It hurts a person's feelings when you say no, but that's part of adulthood. We have to learn to live with that. And so, oddly enough, Rosalind, one of the things I'd recommend that you do is get into marriage counseling for yourself with your husband, because if you guys are off in this particular area, you're going to be off in other areas where you become the ogre, you become the hard guy, you become the person, let me give you nicer words for that, you become the realist, the person who sees reality. And there's a lot of us in the world who don't see reality. We're stuck in idealism or in fearful settings where we are immobilized, and that's where your husband is. I'd jump into some marriage counseling with the two of you.
Yeah, because you've got to get on the same page, and he needs to be going to Al-Anon with you so that he understands the principles, and in a counseling situation where he – hey, I had a son who was an addict, and – you know, he could play us against each other so easily, you know, and my wife would be tough and I'd give in, or I'd get tough and my wife would give in. And as long as we weren't on the same page, nothing changed. And it wasn't until we got into a program that required us to be on the same page and we followed that pattern that things began to change. And so Mylon's right on. You've got to get on the same page. And the way to do that is to get into some counseling together and get to Al-Anon together and talk about it and understand the principles, because if you don't, nothing will change.
So triangulation of one parent versus the other versus the kid is something that can start from the child's two.
I've got a question for her. When they call and say, we have no money for milk, no money to feed our children, should she tell them, well, then I'm going to call Child Protective Services to get them to come out so these kids can get into a situation where they can be fed?
Well, I was actually thinking that very same thing. That, in fact, as grandparents or any observer who sees neglect, abuse, misuse, needs to report that. So it could be very possible that I might be the reporting phone call.
And it might be the day that he watches his kids get into a van to be distributed to foster parents that he finally decides, okay, now's the time for me to get help.
It's a tough stuff. I mean, in my situation, I had to press charges against my son and put him in jail.
How old was he when he began his recovery?
26, 28.
We tell people with addicts at that age, okay, you've got to do this and that. Otherwise, you're going to call us, and you're going to have a 40-year-old addict on your hand. And here's an example of that with children, 40 years old, relying on the parent.
How's your son doing now?
22 years clean and sober.
Okay, now see, David had to do the tough.
Did the tough.
Love, and 22 years later, he's clean and sober.
All things that hurt are not harmful things.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They're helpful things. And the if there's a culprit here, it's her husband.
Yeah.
He's
the one that's dragging things out.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break.
Send her a Life Recovery Bible.
Okay, Life Recovery Bible coming your way. I'm glad she's an Al-Anon. That's got to help. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Let's talk to Sarah from Glen Falls, New York. Sarah, thanks for holding on. How can we help you today?
Have I ever been holding on? It's nice to talk to you both. And I just wanted to call and ask a question. My son and his wife are in the process of getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked in on him. She walked in just before Thanksgiving 2 years ago and said, "I don't love you anymore."
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And they've been married 21 years. And my question is, how in the world, why does anybody come up at that time in their lives after being married that long with two children and say they don't love somebody anymore? That just does not
ring
in my ears. It just doesn't hold true. I have a hard time with that.
Well, love is based on behaviors, and we forget that. We think that it's, you know, an emotion, and when the emotion goes away, we think, well, it's just gone. You know, you fall into love, you fall out of love.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you stop acting in loving ways. And typically when a couple at 20 years gets divorced, it's because they've really lost touch with each other. They're living in separate worlds, and then one of them finally wakes up and says, "Hey, I don't even know you anymore," and that's how they describe it. And it's tragic, but it has a long history to it, unfortunately, that should have been caught, you know, 10 years earlier.
Yes.
And commonly, you see a woman making a connection in her miserable marriage. Then she makes a connection with somebody and really starts
somebody
to,
else. In that,
yeah.
That's what has happened.
Yeah. And so
and
that
he did not know that at the time.
Yeah, that's the answer. Yeah. Now, so you got to go back to, well, you know, what was the relationship like that would motivate her or cause her to want to pursue that connection? And that's, you know, that's where the big problem begins, and that's where the big problem needs to be dealt with.
And it was an emptiness back then. It's like it's like living in a vacuum tube that you you know, individually, and the tubes clank against each other, but you never really touch hard.
So what we're saying is, you know, she did have this connection, but he did contribute to the difficulty there.
Oh,
so you don't want to blame her totally for the entire. Entire problem.
He was busy doing something else, probably, and building his career.
Mylon, your thoughts?
Well, and I think, Sarah, it's possible that you came from a generation of people who where duty prevailed over, you know, what we feel.
The whims of our feelings.
Yeah, your duty prevails. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. You simply carry out your duty. Do you think that's true of you?
Well, it wasn't true. I mean, I was married 43 years, but I never had that desire. I never, you know, thought of it that way. I love my husband. He loved me. And
well, and you're fortunate.
But I'm just saying I've been fortunate. Yes, I have.
But
that's why it's hard for me to understand when a person can come up and just say that to a person. And I'm not taking sides. I know, you know, it's both their faults, you know. But my other question is, and I appreciate what you just said, and I do take your advice to heart, but I wanted to see what, excuse me a minute, I wanted to see what my part is in this. I mean, I don't have anything to do with the divorce or anything, and but I told her when I saw her that she left him at Thanksgiving time 3 years ago, and she came at Christmas time to give, because we draw names in our family, and she came to give presents to the kids that she had drawn names for it. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, just because you and Mark are separating, I don't want to be separated from you.
Good.
You're the mother of my grandchildren.
Great.
And I want a relationship with you, but since then it has not happened. And what I was questioning myself on is, Lord, should I, or can I, open up that door and just her and I. I don't want to talk about the divorce.
Yeah,
I don't blame her. I don't blame him. Well, I don't know the true story.
Well, let's just get their perspective on. So she divorced him. What opens the door to a relationship between an ex-daughter?
I think you create an invitation, and I like, Sarah, your point. This is the mother of my grandchildren, and you're going to have a relationship with her one way or another your whole life and their whole life. So I'd highly recommend that you do everything you can to maintain a relationship.
Yeah.
Do your best and, you know, just seek to be an encouragement to her.
It's a way to stay in touch with the grandkids. But the thing I would do with your son is say, how did you let her get away? You know, have you figured out how you let her get away? And and get him to thinking about that, because he's as much a part of this as she is and in terms of letting that die. And you know, today marriages are, you know, really focused on love, and we don't understand love, but we focus on it.
Yeah.
And when we don't do the things that keep love alive, then we think, well, it's gone and it's over. But it can always be rekindled, but it has to take both people to do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm glad you called. Let's see. Let me send a copy of Forgiving the Unforgivable. Hope that'll be a blessing to you. We've got some wonderful things coming up, including Wives in the Battle in September. We would love for you to go. Call us for more information. And please, if you need a counselor, so many of these things can be dealt with early on. If you need a counselor, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us refer you to a counselor somewhere. Please. It could change everything. A lot of our biggest supporters, all we did was send them to a great counselor, and they support us in big ways. So It really could change your life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Charlton from Colorado Springs, Colorado, is one of the people that does our Everyman's Battle workshop. Hey, Carlton. Charlton.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Sorry, I mispronounced your name. I was going to try not to do that.
That's okay.
You're one of the counselors at Everyman's Battle, right?
That's correct.
Why do you do that? Why do you leave your private practice and go and do that one weekend a month?
I think the experience is so powerful, not only for the men that I see their lives change, but even for myself. I think every time I go, I get a renewed desire to continue fighting the battle.
Well, speaking of renewed desire, you did a wonderful blog about a 70-year-old man who came to Everyman's Battle. Tell us about that.
Well, it was a pretty amazing story. God completely caught me off guard. I had a gentleman come in after the first main session, and your listeners probably know that we do lots of breakout sessions during Everyman's Battle conferences. Mm-hmm. And he walked in, and I saw him, and I thought, well, okay, you know, I'm wondering how he's going to respond, especially being younger than him. Is he going to listen to me? You know, lots of times we hear in our culture, you know, well, somebody at that age is just set in their ways. They're never going to change.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long to see this man's heart was ready to change.
Hmm.
And
wonderful.
You know, throughout the weekend, what I got to witness was just a man who had been disengaged from his heart for a while, for a long time,
right.
Become engaged with his heart again.
So what did he do?
Well, one of the things was he actually grieved the loss of his father.
Hmm.
I believe for the first time, truly grieved the loss of his father.
Hmm.
And as you know, we all know that any kind of addiction, there's always more emotional stuff going on that helps fuel that addiction. And so I think that was powerful for him to get it, you know, some of that pain that had never been engaged before. And so
on your blog, you quoted him. It was a great quote.
Yeah. You mean the quote where he said, "I want to get control of this addiction before I die."
Right, right. I love that.
Yeah, and it was that really just rocked me back on my heels. Mm-hmm. I thought, "Wow, what a courageous statement, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlton, if somebody is hesitating going because they think it's too late, too early, they don't think they have much of a problem, what do you say to them?
I say don't think about it. Just sign up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter how far gone you think you are. Doesn't matter if you think, well, it's too late in life for me. Go. God will meet you there, and you will see powerful change.
Well, and I've heard guys say this over and over again. And it's not an exaggeration. It's true to them. They said, if I knew what this could do earlier, I would have been willing to sell everything I have to get to come to this thing. Now, that's how powerful it is. Charlton, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Love your blog.
Steve.
And, if anybody wants info on it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
This is kind of a double commercial. The subject is a testimony of a gentleman at the EMB workshop.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, what a quality guy Charlton is.
Yes, that's right.
You see, and you get to hear the quality of individuals that are staffing those events.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has a heart for the Lord. He understands why we get into these places.
Yep.
He knows, and he's a part of helping a person understand how to grow, some of the reasons, the emotional reasons why these addictions prevail and remain fueled. I love his heart.
Yep.
So that's part of what happens at a New Life Weekend.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of New Life Ministry.
That's
and
right.
And it goes way beyond the radio and the television because there's all kinds of things like that going on.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that is so transforming is this, for many men, is the only place they've ever dealt with this without being shamed
mm-hmm.
or feeling deep shame. Let's go to Carol. She's a Club New Life member from Austin, Texas, and she listens on Sirius Satellite Radio, where we can be found at channel 131. Hey, Carol.
Hello.
Hi. How could we help you today?
Well, I'm in sort of a dilemma. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been dating a wonderful, loving Christian man. We've been growing, but it's been a long time. It's been 6 years, and I know how you guys feel about that. But,
yeah, we're not too big on that, are we? No.
I know that's a long time, you know, to be dating.
Yeah.
But the situation is that he is here from Mexico, and he's here illegally. So it just doesn't fix anything to get married. As a matter of fact, we're just to the point where, okay, let's go ahead and get married, but, you know, we've got to kind of take into consideration that we may have to live in Mexico at some point.
All right, now, how old are you?
I am 52.
How old is he?
And he is 40. He's going to be 42. We're 10 years apart.
Okay. Hmm. And so what's the question for us?
Well, the question is, here's my thing is the I have three grown daughters. They're 25, 28, and 30. I live in Austin. They live in the Midwest, mostly around Des Moines and then the Missouri area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see my life playing out. Grandkids are going to be coming. I have two of them married. Grandkids are going to be coming. I miss my kids. You know, should I, you know, this whole idea of going to Mexico is really scary to me. It could be a good thing. Maybe I'm not looking at it, you know, with all of the information, and it could be a very good thing.
Are you wanting some brotherly advice on whether or not to continue in the relationship or not?
Yes.
Okay, did you hear that noise just then? That's a sign from
that
God.
I'm getting off the. I'm driving, and I thought, well, I'll get off so I can get rid of some of this road noise.
It was a sound of a truck moving on. See, and that is a sign from God that you need to move on. If I were you, I would say we have had a great experience together. I'm just giving you advice like a brother. Maybe the wrong advice, but I'm just going to step out here and say, because you've been dating 6 years, he's an illegal, and you've got an illegal immigrant, and you've got three kids in the Midwest. I would be saying to him, it's been great, but I have to go live near my kids so that when the grandkids come, I can actually be at the birth. And so although we've had some great times together, I have to move on. And then I would move to the Midwest closer to your kids.
Okay.
If you can move to Mexico, you can move to the Midwest.
Yes.
I would say move on whether you move or not.
Yeah, right.
Because my sense is that the illegality of his residency is a very convenient kind of way to avoid commitment.
Yeah.
And you know, 6 years is way too long not to have solved this issue in some way or other. And you're going to be calling us 6 years from now saying, well, I should have listened to you guys 6 years ago, but we're still dating, and life will have passed you by in a lot of ways. That's I agree with Steve.
And I think when you hold that little 12-inch human being in your arms, you're going to be grateful that you did move on.
19 inches.
19 inches, right, exactly.
Carol, let me ask you two hard questions.
Okay.
Who supports whom, and are you having sex with him?
We are not having sex. He supports himself. He has a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very steady job that he's had for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And no, we are not having sex. So that is a long time, but we have made that commitment that we wouldn't do that without marriage.
Good for you.
Good.
Because those are two things that really tie us into each other, and I'm trying to figure out what the tie is into this guy.
Why would you continue?
Why is he so strong in the tie?
He's such a loving person. Mm. He's very kind, very good. He is a Christian. You know, we've grown, you know, as far as our faith is concerned. He also says that, we would have to save up money. You know, you can live over there very inexpensively.
Okay, we don't care about that. We don't care about that. We want you to move on.
Have you checked with an immigration attorney to find out what the options are if you married?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
We've done that. There's none now. Since 9/11.
You've exhausted everything.
It doesn't help anything.
Yeah. You've exhausted everything, and now it's time to move on and thank him and be friends. But there's no future for you guys here except a friendship.
Commit or split in about year two or three when you're.
If you haven't,
you're 50 years old like this.
The research says if you haven't married by 2 years, you probably won't.
Yeah. So, hope that's helpful. We're going to take a break. Come right back. Final segment here of New Life Live with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. And I think we're just going to go right over there and we're going to talk with Cindy. It's going to be our next call. So, Cindy, you hang on there. We'll be back after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you need help.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, let's go to Cindy from Belle Isle, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And, I am calling because we have two boys, and one of them all of a sudden is 13. And we have been always, you know, through the years, pretty strict with their, you know, what they watch on TV, the movies that they watch. And
yeah.
Even when we go, you know, to rent movies or check out movies at the library, we have always, you know, they have always known that the criteria is nothing that has sexual content or, you know, profane
right.
language and stuff like that. But now my boys, you know, my 13-year-old that is going to be 14 in October, he wants to watch, you know, some of these PG-13 movies that I just don't know, you know, where to draw the line, because I know I want to, I have heard you guys say many times you cannot, you know, put them in a cocoon and,
yeah. Well, and hey, you know,
overprotect them. So he's been wanting to watch one of the movies that he wants to watch, Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that movie has some scenes that are not, that I just don't consider appropriate for children, but then I know he's getting older, so where do I draw the line, you know, about that? Because most of these PG-13 movies, especially the ones that are action, have sexuality in them.
Right, you're right.
And cursing. And
what do you guys think?
Well, he's going to get cursing in school, isn't he, with friends. And I at some point, you got to trust what you've done as a parent, that they have discernment. And I would rather have them watch that at home and then talk about it than have them watch it at a friend's house and not tell you.
Well, he's so far pretty open. You know, now that you mentioned the neighbor thing, he came the other day and asked me if looking at girls in bikini was pornography, because we had talked about, you know, pornography on the computers and
okay, well, you know what, Cindy, you get 7 stars from us today for having a relationship with him that he could ask you that question. Now, where's Dad? What's Dad?
Well, my husband is very supportive of that, but for some reason, my 13-year-old, he's always told me that he feels more comfortable talking to me. And he asked me many, many questions, and one of those was that the other night he asked me that. And at first I said no, but then I said, you know what, Gabriel, thinking about it, I think that watching, and I asked him why he was asking me that, of course, and it's because he's our next-door neighbor, which he's 14. He said that he had borrowed his iPod, and when he went to look at something on YouTube, He came into the scene with women in bikinis, and that he asked him, what are you doing? And he said that, and, you know, his friend told him that his dad had shown him that because they were pretty girls, and he had it there because he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I told him, Gabriel, I really think that is a form of pornography because you're looking at women.
Let's hear what Mylon thinks here about what the PG-13 stuff.
Well, in 4 years, he's going to be 18 years old.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a legal adult. So how do you transition him to walk into an adult world where commercials these days, just commercials on TV, 10 o'clock at night, Victoria's Secret is on mainstream shows.
I mean, if you saw that and you didn't know it was a commercial, you would say that's pornography.
Well, and so
it's
the issue is, how does her boy learn, and how do they as parents teach a child to learn to be responsible. Every man's battle starts right here. You see, that's
well, that's what the dad ought to be going over with the boy with.
Well, that means, and both Kay and I were equally as conversant about the battle with sexuality with our boys and girls.
Yeah.
We had these talks, and what Andy needs to do with her husband is draw him in, and they need to normalize these conversations and say, what do you do with your eyes? Okay, Forrest Gump has a sexual scene in it,
mm-hmm.
okay? But he's going to see sexual scenes on a lot of TV shows, not just movies. And at some point in time, like you said, Dave, if there's no exposure, then at 18, his boat is really rocked because he does not know what to do with, and nobody's helped him process with the conversations they're talking about, Steve or Dave. What are your thoughts and feelings? How do you control these eyes? Every man's battle starts right now.
Yeah, and to tell him, okay, look, I'll watch Forrest Gump with you, but when we get to this scene, I'm going to expect that you look away.
You could do that.
Expect you to look me right in the eyes and not watch that scene. The only way I would.
See, what you're saying, Marlon, is you want to teach them how to act responsibly.
That's right.
And at 13, 14, you know, you're moving them into being responsible for themselves. You stop parenting and you continue influencing. And the fact that you've got this great conversational relationship with your boys is powerful. And you just want to maintain that and loosen the grip and keep them talking with you. That's what I would say. So that by 18, they're handling things responsibly.
And where do they live? They live in Bikiniville, USA. They live in Florida. So, you know.
go to the beach and you see it all.
That's the point. And how do we control our eyes? And the other thing that she has to understand is nobody's going to be perfect at this. So what do you do with failure? What do you do when you take it too far? And how do you clean that out again, and what do you do to start over again? And as guys, we have to start over every day, and we have to get to a point where we learn, as EMB says, to corral our thoughts, corral our eyes, etc.
Right. But you're right, Steve. Dad has to get into the picture of this much more.
Okay, well, I'm glad that she called. And before Mylon reads a scripture for us here as we close up our program, I want to remind you that we do need your help. We desperately need your help. And the one day of programming in each station, on average, costs us $110 a day. For you to hear this program, on average, it's $110 a day. So I would ask you to support a day of our program. If you've never given before, and you'll do this, if you'll support a day, then you will help us solve all the financial problems that need to be solved here. One day, $110. Some of you, maybe you could do a week, which is 5 days, 5 weekdays, $550. But if you've never given and you've thought about how much you've wanted to give in the past, or you've thought, I really ought to give in the past, or whatever it is, if you've had that thought, you know, I listen to them a lot and I've never supported them, this would be the time to do it. So pick up the phone at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number is 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. Or you could drop us a note at P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. That's 92652, Post Office Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California. Or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Mylon, share a scripture with us here.
Okay, whether you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, this verse applies to all of us. It says, casting down imaginations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, we're bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
That is a lifetime journey for us as Christians.
That's right.
No matter what the topic, whether it's money, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, all of these things are things we must rein in. Otherwise, they will hook us and they will lead us on the journey. And that's what this show is all about, getting those hooks out. And getting us to a place where we're more in charge of our lives than us getting pulled around by life itself.
Yeah. All right. So if you're hooked, a lot of hookers out there, and they're not walking the streets, they're...
They got barbs on them.
They're barbs. Barbie dolls. Or Barbie men. Well, that'd be Ken. All right. Anyway, whatever. Forget it. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you, those that support us. We really appreciate it. If we can help you, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to newlife.com and find a resource there. You can find out about our Wives in the Battle, the weight loss program coming up, our New Life Weekend. All of those things are there. God bless you. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.